This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on FCA Answers, the Navy charts a course to information dominance. The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with FCA International. Welcome to FCA Answers. At a time when warfare is as much about ones and zeros as it is about sturdy warships, fast planes, and well-trained sailors and Marines, the U.S. Navy is taking steps to maintain its technological edge or information dominance. Our guest today is one of the leaders in the Navy's strategy for achieving information dominance, Vice Admiral Ted Branch, the N2N6 for the U.S. Navy, also the Director of Naval Intelligence. Admiral, welcome to FCA Answers. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Max. It's a pleasure to be here and a great opportunity to talk about information dominance.
Now, Admiral, when we were talking about doing this show and had a chance to look at your biography, it says that you have one job, but you wear four different hats. Are the four hats substantially different, and or are they related? And how do they relate to the need for the Navy to achieve information dominance?
Well, Max, they are definitely related, and they are all about information dominance as a warfare discipline. As the deputy CNO for warfare for information dominance, I'm the CNO's primary action officer and resource sponsor for all things related to that portfolio. It's about 200 programs and a $14.3 billion budget. My Director of Naval Intelligence hat, under those responsibilities, I set, direct, and oversee the naval intelligence policies and efforts across the Navy. And obviously, that's a key to our pillar of battle space awareness and information dominance. Within the Chief Information Officer world, I'm the deputy to the Department of the Navy Chief Information Officer Terry Howerson, and along with my Marine counterpart, Brigadier General Kevin Nally, I focus on Navy systems and Navy equities, and of course, that's about both our afloat and ashore networks, a key there to our assured command and control. And then finally, as the head of the Information Dominance Corps, my fourth hat, that's the people part of our business, and the IDC, the Information Dominance Corps, is comprised of about 52,000 active reserve military and civilian personnel, officer and enlisted, who are the practitioners of information dominance and the real pros in the whole operation.
And I should note here, Admiral, that we've also had Mr. Halverson and also General Nally in this seat. So you're the third member of the Navy to come and join us here on the program.
Well, I'm glad I'm being a good teammate there.
There you go. Admiral, I'm wondering, how do you define information dominance? That's a term that's fairly new to this space in terms of how you define the mission of the Navy. But it's a new and important way that the Navy prosecutes its mission. Tell us about that.
Thanks, Max. Information dominance, the definition of information dominance is the operational advantage gained from fully integrating the Navy's information functions, capabilities, and resources to optimize decision-making and maximize warfighting effects. That sounds like a textbook definition. It is. What it's really about is warfare in the information age. And in this new age of warfare, it's not always about bombs and bullets on target. We find that the non-kinetic effects are equally, sometimes even more important than those kinetic effects of yesteryear. And in this age, networks and the electromagnetic spectrum are the battle space, just as undersea, sea, land, or air have been the battle space in the past. In the information dominance portfolio, we have three primary areas of focus or pillars. The first is Assured C2, the second, predictive battle space awareness, and the third is integrated fires. As it sounds, assured command and control allows commanders to communicate their orders and intent to subordinates, assess how they're carrying out those orders, and to direct those non-kinetic or kinetic effects. In order to do this, we had to have robust and resilient, secure and reliable communications. So we depend on protected transport, resilient networks, also assured position, navigation, and timing from our oceanographers, and a good awareness of the electromagnetic spectrum. Programmatically in this area, We're resourcing the Navy the Next Generation Enterprise Network, or NGEN, the Consolidated Afloat Network Enterprise System, or CANES, Automated Digital Network System, ADNS, and the Navy Multiband Terminal, among many others. But right. Those are some of the big ticket items in that portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Now, Admiral, we have about a minute here left in this portion of the program. I wanted to ask you about the people involved in information dominance. And that you just mentioned that the information dominance core is the people side of the job that you do. What would you say are the core competencies you look for in sailors and Marines when it comes to information dominance? And what kind of training do you give these folks?
Well, it's a great group of professionals that are the practitioners of information dominance, and we've had a number of skill sets that coalesce to form the information dominance core. It's more than just cyber. It's more than just information technology. While we have the specializations of information technology, we also have meteorology and oceanography, intelligence, information warfare, and space. Obviously, what we look for there is a depth of expertise in those core areas, but also a breadth of experience across those interdisciplinary activities. Obviously, we also look for technically proficient people who can be critical thinkers and demonstrate good leadership qualities as mm-hmm. we go forward.
Well, still to come, information dominance and a message to industry. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
FCA has been the association for global security since 1946. Experience FCA in action at its upcoming events. Navy Information Dominance Day, May 7th. The Joint Information Enterprise Mission Partner Symposium, May 12th to 14th. Acquisition Research Symposium, May 14th to 15th. And Critical Issues at C4I, May 20th and 21st. Many of FCA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with FCA's international journal, Signal Magazine. The April issue focuses on open source intelligence and Marine Corps C4ISR. Further your education by taking advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training package that includes 36 cybersecurity courses. Support our STEM efforts by sponsoring a scholarship or joining our Cycle for STEM team. Learn more and join today at afcea.org. That's afcea.org.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Vice Admiral Ted Branch, the Navy's N2N6. Admiral, we were talking in the last segment of the show about information dominance, and you were talking about the three planks or the three pillars of information dominance, and I know you had one more that you wanted to get to.
Thanks, Max. Actually, two more. The three pillars are assured command and control, predictive battle space awareness, and integrated fires. I talked about assured command and control being the ability of the commander to get the orders and intent out and assess and act on that information. For predictive battle space awareness, that's more than just intelligence. Obviously, we have to have a deep penetrating knowledge of adversary capabilities, intent, and disposition. But beyond that, we have to understand the physical environment and the electromagnetic spectrum. It's the tools that go into that along with the people that enable us to do that job. And I'm talking tools like the unmanned portfolio, Triton, U-class, VTUAV, or the vertical takeoff unmanned aerial vehicle, the integrated undersea arrays, the physical environment sensing systems like NITES. Right now, the CNO's top priority is on electromagnetic spectrum. So we have a lot of work going on with the Office of Naval Research on that technology to better understand and manage our signatures in the spectrum. And we're working with the fleet on concepts of operations and exercises and exercise planning to refine those capabilities and tactics, techniques, and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, on the integrated fires piece, that's the ability to produce those kinetic and non-kinetic effects, whether it's through the networks, a wire, spectrum space, a gun barrel, or a missile warhead. It involves fusing the sensors and making sure we get the weapons, whatever kind of weapons they are, to achieve the effect that is desired.
Mm-hmm.
All our electronic warfare programs are in this portfolio, along with some of our cyber work.
Now, you just mentioned a nice long list of priorities for information dominance. Obviously, it's a challenging budget environment that we're in these days. And I'm wondering, we like to think of this show as a platform for government guests to speak to industry. What kind of a message do you want to send to your industry partners in terms of how to meet the Navy's needs when it comes to information dominance?
Well, we view industry as key partners in filling critical gaps and helping us determine how to shape our future capabilities. Industry can help us a lot here with rapid technology development. That mm-hmm. will help us shorten our acquisition process. Obviously, we need open architecture, reliable modular hardware. And I would say we'd like to focus more on single or limited purpose modules that are easy to install. And as the pace of change in the information area is so quickly, that'll more enable us to stay current with the threat and mm-hmm. face the threat. Also, I would like to propose to industry that they help us get to an 80% solution at an affordable cost instead of building us the best widget known to man. The fact of the matter is the fleet's going to take whatever we give them, and they're going to really decide how it's best used and modified and tailored for their mission. So if we can get something, an 80% product at a good cost, I think that's the preference.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, for industry, I'd want them to double check their supply chain, make sure that we're going to be able to sustain what we get. The basic foundational stuff, the foundational training materials that we contract for, delivering those on time is very important. And also, as we move towards a system of systems type approach, it's very important that we make sure that this fusion of sensors and transport and processors all fit in. Finally, I'd like to make a pitch for industry to make sure that they can protect their information. You know, we've had some issues recently where we've had exfills of information from industry that really lets an adversary cut the corner and make up time on our developmental process. So that's very important. And then finally, and I probably don't have to ask industry to do this, but we want them to communicate on their programs of record with us, their sponsors, and also with OSD and Capitol Hill to make sure that we can keep these programs on track.
Mm-hmm. Now, something that you just said when you started with that response, rapid technology development. Your colleague and your counterpart, General Nally, the Marine CIO, when he sat in the chair that you're sitting in right now, he expressed a great deal of frustration with the pace of technology development and acquisition rules and regulations that all government agencies have to follow. What would be your recommendation based on your experience of how to improve acquisition so that it meets the needs of the warfighter?
Well, I'm not sure I have the solution, but I can certainly admire the problem. And I do share Kevin's concern on that. The fact of the matter is, as everyone in this audience knows, the pace of change is so rapid with all things information technology that by the time under our old system we can get a program of record fielded, that hardware and software is already out of date and in some cases vulnerable and other issues. So we're always shooting behind the duck, if you will. The obvious fix for that is to have a different acquisition process or a streamlined acquisition cycle for IT applications and hardware, software to enable us to lead turn that change. Moore's Law is beating us all right now, so we have to change our processes to get that better. We can help in our end of the business by better definition of requirements up front and by decreasing the changes during the process, you know, to say what we want from the get-go and then mm-hmm. stick with that. And again, get that fielded 80% solution that's then modular enough and with open architecture has an ability to change and adapt and update as we move it out into the field.
Okay, well, still to come, keeping up with all those hats, you're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
FCA has been the association for global security since 1946. Experience FCA in action at its upcoming events. Navy Information Dominance Day, May 7th. The Joint Information Enterprise Mission Partner Symposium, May 12th to 14th. Acquisition Research Symposium, May 14th to 15th. and critical issues at C4I, May 20th and 21st. Many of AFSCA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with AFSCA's international journal, Signal Magazine. The April issue focuses on open source intelligence and Marine Corps C4ISR. Further your education by taking advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training package that includes 36 cybersecurity courses. Support our STEM efforts by sponsoring a scholarship or joining our Cycle for STEM team. Learn more and join today at afcea.org. That's afcea.org.
Welcome back to AFSCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Admiral Branch, one of the reasons why we have you in for the show today is to talk a little bit about something that's very near and dear to your heart and very near and dear to the heart of the my colleagues at AFSCA International, and that is Navy Information Dominance Day. That's coming up soon, and wanted to ask you about what your hopes are for that day and what your expectations are going to be.
Well, thanks, Max. I'm happy to put in a plug for the Information Dominance Industry Day. It's on May the 7th, co-hosted by AFSCA and the Naval Intelligence Professionals. We'll be holding it out at Heritage Center in Chantilly. Mm-hmm. We've done it for a few years now, and I think it's well regarded by industry, and it's something that industry looks forward to. My entire staff, essentially, will be out there interacting with industry and answering questions and having a good open dialogue. The Chief of Naval Operations has agreed to come be a keynote speaker for us that morning on the 7th. And so it promises to be a really good day. And it's coming at a really good point in time. You mentioned the tight budgets and fiscal restraint that we're going through now in the DOD. In general, I'm happy to say that we still look at information dominance as a growth industry, and that's recognition, I think, on a lot of people's part that this is a new way of doing warfare and being prepared for our Navy and our nation, and it's something we need to invest in. So many major challenges and areas of focus on our plate. I mentioned electromagnetic spectrum. That is a priority for the CNO, and it's certainly an area— electromagnetic spectrum maneuver warfare that we're going to be putting a lot of priority on. Network security, obviously, is a big ticket item these days with mm-hmm. recent events in the newspaper. And of course, in our portfolio, we look at and resource autonomous systems, whether they're airborne, undersea, or doing many missions with those systems and their long legs and persistence and ability to strike in the case of UCLASS. So. Mm-hmm. A very wide portfolio, lots of things that industry can help us solve, and we'll look forward to their participation.
Sure. And this is a good opportunity also, Admiral, to ask you about the joint information environment. That's a major priority for the Department of Defense. And, of course, it fits in with the Navy's information dominance strategy.
Absolutely. You know, the Navy is fully committed to the joint information environment, not only by participating in it, but we'd like to play a leading action-focused role in the campaign to align the defense and the intelligence information systems under the higher-level JIE and intelligence community enterprise information technology enterprise. We're demonstrating that strategic commitment through significant investments in consolidating Navy's networks into the seagoing Canes Peace Consolidated Afloat Networks Enterprise System and the shore-based NGEN, or Next Generation Enterprise Network, and the alignment of those networks with our effort to consolidate data centers with a single security architecture, posturing those effectively aligned and resilient networks as a platform for the consumption of cloud computing and other enterprise services, and the use of identity and access management and attribute-based access controls to regulate the consumption and provisioning by Navy forces. It's a really big effort, and Navy's taking the lead in the increment 2 of the JIE rollout, which will be in the Pacific Command. So we're excited about it and looking forward to continuing that effort.
Great. Now, I also wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about a new initiative that you're about to announce regarding the kind of officers who the Navy puts out on ships and on bases and to try to manage information dominance at the command level. And I would imagine this also goes to trying to get mid-level commanders up to speed with how information dominance fits in with how they do war fighting. Tell us about that.
Well, I can go down a couple of tracks here. First, in our officer programs, the officer corps of the information dominance corps is composed of what I used to call, or what used to be referred to as five tribes. Those five tribes are the oceanography, METOC community, the information warfare community or cryptologist, the information professionals, the IT branch, and the naval intelligence community. We also have the space cadre. So as the Information Dominance Corps was formed, those five communities came together as one core. And the idea there is to retain that depth of expertise in each specialty, but enable a broadened perspective by cross-detailing and having those specialists accept tasking and jobs in other of those specialist career fields. We think that that gives us an interdisciplinary approach instead of a multidisciplinary core, and we think there's great power in doing that. We've realigned career paths, we've realigned accession training, and we're moving out on making the Information Dominance Corps real. Helping us in that effort is the stand-up of an Information Dominance Type Commander, which is analogous to the platform TICOMs, like the Submarine Force TICOM, Naval Air Forces Type Commander. We're standing that up in Norfolk right now out of what used to be Navy Cyber Force. And we expect to have the initial operating capability by October and the full operating capability by December 1st. That organization, Commander Naval ID 4, will take on all the man, train, and equip functions across the Information Dominance Corps and make us much more analogous to the other platform warfare areas as we move forward.
Admiral, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us today here on AFCEA Answers, and thank you again for your service, sir. We have special thanks today to the AFCEA Intelligence Committee and Intel Vice President Steve Ritchie for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search AFCEA. That's AFCEA. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of AFCEA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at afcea.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.
AFCEA has been the association for global security since 1946. Experience AFCEA in action at its upcoming events. Navy Information Dominance Day, May 7th. The Joint Information Enterprise Mission Partner Symposium, May 12th to 14th. Acquisition Research Symposium, May 14th to 15th. And Critical Issues at C4I, May 20th and 21st. Many of AFCEA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with AFCEA's international journal Signal Magazine. The April issue focuses on open source intelligence and Marine Corps C4ISR. Further your education by taking advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training package that includes 36 cybersecurity courses. Support our STEM efforts by sponsoring a scholarship or joining our Cycle for STEM team. Learn more and join today at afcea.org. That's afcea.org.